Anti-fragility through evolution and the economy. A great example of anti-fragility is the evolutionary process, which thrives on volatility. Every shock to the system forces life forms to adapt, mutate, and improve to better fit their environment. However, while the evolutionary process itself is anti-fragile, individual organisms are fragile. For evolution to work, what matters is that successful genetic codes get passed on, not the individual organisms. The death of these organisms creates space for more successful ones to emerge. This process shows a key trait of antifragility. To be antifragile, a system often needs its parts to be fragile. These parts' successes and failures provide crucial information for the system. In evolution, extinction leads to improvement in life forms. A similar idea applies to the economy. While individual components, like small businesses or big corporations, can be fragile, the economy as a whole is anti-fragile. The failure of a coffee shop, for instance, can make the coffee industry stronger overall because others learn from those mistakes. So, the anti-fragility of a system often depends on the fragility of its parts. Anti-fragility through exercise. Shocks and stressors make anti-fragile systems stronger by pushing them to develop more capacity. We experience anti-fragility all the time without realizing it, like when we exercise. When we work out, our bodies go through physical stress, but instead of breaking down, they grow stronger in response. This is a key part of anti-fragility. When faced with stress, such as lifting weights or running on a treadmill, the system doesn't just recover, it improves its ability to handle future stress. Anti-fragility is the idea that strength grows through challenges. When faced with adversity, systems often overcompensate by building extra resources, creating redundancy. While this might seem wasteful, it's essential for becoming stronger over time. For example, when we exercise, our bodies build extra muscle, even if we don't use it right away. It might seem inefficient, but if an unexpected situation arises, like having to carry a heavy piano up 5 flights of stairs, the extra muscle becomes crucial. What seemed unnecessary at the time can turn out to be exactly what's needed when a surprise challenge occurs. Natural and man-made systems. Anti-fragility is often found in natural, or biological, systems. Most man-made items aren't anti-fragile because they don't improve through failures or stress. For example, a washing machine will eventually break down with repeated use. While it can handle some shocks, it doesn't get better from them. However, some artificial systems are also anti-fragile. The economy is a prime example. Although created by humans, it behaves in an anti-fragile way because of its complexity. It consists of many interdependent parts that work together. Complexity alone isn't enough for anti-fragility. These systems also need volatility to thrive. Anti-fragile systems rely on the weakness of their parts. Some parts must fail to make the system stronger overall. Without shocks and stress, the system loses its ability to adapt and grow. The economy shows how too much stability can be harmful. Many governments have tried to make the economy more predictable by using regulations and subsidies. They thought they could manage and smooth out economic cycles. But by removing volatility, they took away important information that helps the economy function well. This led to misallocated resources and made the economy vulnerable to big shocks. In the end, tranquility made the system fragile. To sum up, tranquil environments result in fragile systems and anti-fragility stems from volatility. Practical knowledge. When Taleb worked in the highly unpredictable global currency markets, he was surprised to see that the most successful traders were often the least educated. They didn't need to understand complex economic theories or the details of the country's finances. They simply knew when to buy and when to sell. In general, society overvalues theoretical or academic knowledge and undervalues practical knowledge. We often think that academic knowledge will automatically lead to practical skills, but they are separate. For example, knowing why planes fly doesn't make you a qualified pilot. You can take advantage of a volatile and anti-fragile system without fully understanding it by having options, the chance to do something, but not the obligation. For instance, stock options let you buy a stock at a fixed price X at a certain time. If the stock's price goes above X, you use your option because you get a discount. If it stays below X, you don't use it. The stock market is volatile, but you don't need to understand its details to profit, you just need to know whether or not to use your option. Options aren't just for the stock market. For example, If a friend invites you to come to a party if you have the chance, that's an option. You don't need to plan or predict your mood, you just decide whether to go when the time comes. To take advantage of anti-fragility, you don't need to understand the opportunities in detail, just when to act on them. How to become anti-fragile. You can't get through life without facing times of volatility and uncertainty. Unexpected events like economic crashes or natural disasters can happen suddenly. To make yourself anti-fragile, you need to accept this fact and learn to domesticate uncertainty rather than trying to avoid or eliminate it. A great way to do this is by using a barbell strategy. Just like a barbell has weights on both ends but nothing in the middle, you should prepare for extreme situations on both ends and ignore the middle ground. Start by focusing on the negative side of the barbell, reduce your risk of disastrous events. For instance, if you keep 90% of your assets safe from market crashes, you'll be protected from big losses. This money might not make a lot of profit, but at least it's safe. Next, use the remaining 10% of your assets to take small risks in highly unpredictable areas where you could make big gains. If things go well, the rewards could be huge, but you only risk 10%. This approach is better than putting all your money in a medium-risk investment where you could lose everything if things go wrong. By managing your risks in this way, you can turn unpredictable events to your advantage and become anti-fragile. Economic squeezes. Imagine you have to attend an important conference in Iceland. You book your flight early to get the best price, but the day before the conference, the airline cancels your flight. Since you can't miss the conference, you have to book a much more expensive, last-minute flight. This frustrating situation is an example of a squeeze, where you have no choice but to act despite high costs. The impact of a squeeze depends on the size of the entity being affected. If it was just you, you might find another ticket at a higher price. But if an entire university delegation were in the same situation, there might not be enough economy seats available, so they'd have to buy more expensive first-class tickets or even charter a private jet. The bigger the group, the tougher the squeeze. In the same way, globalization has made the world economy more vulnerable to large squeezes. Everything is interconnected, from banks trading stocks in Japan to supermarkets buying produce from Brazil. If a crisis happens, like a stock market crash, it could affect everything. Banks might cut funding for businesses, which could lead to layoffs, and people might lose their homes. Today, any economic squeeze would be global and widespread, causing significant problems for everyone. The larger an organization or system, the harder it will be hit by unexpected crises. Start by focusing on the negative side of the barbell, reduce your risk of disastrous events. For instance, if you keep 90% of your assets safe from market crashes, you'll be protected from big losses. This money might not make a lot of profit, but at least it's safe. Next, use the remaining 10% of your assets to take small risks in highly unpredictable areas where you could make big gains. If things go well, the rewards could be huge, but you only risk 10%. This approach is better than putting all your money in a medium-risk investment where you could lose everything if things go wrong. By managing your risks in this way, you can turn unpredictable events to your advantage and become anti-fragile. Economic squeezes. Imagine you have to attend an important conference in Iceland. You book your flight early to get the best price. But the day before the conference, the airline cancels your flight. Since you can't miss the conference, you have to book a much more expensive, last-minute flight. This frustrating situation is an example of a squeeze, where you have no choice but to act despite high costs. The impact of a squeeze depends on the size of the entity being affected. If it was just you, you might find another ticket at a higher price. But if an entire university delegation were in the same situation, there might not be enough economy seats available, so they'd have to buy more expensive first-class tickets or even charter a private jet. The bigger the group, the tougher the squeeze. In the same way, globalization has made the world economy more vulnerable to large squeezes. Everything is interconnected, from banks trading stocks in Japan to supermarkets buying produce from Brazil. If a crisis happens, like a stock market crash, it could affect everything. Banks might cut funding for businesses, which could lead to layoffs, and people might lose their homes. Today, any economic squeeze would be global and widespread, causing significant problems for everyone. The larger an organization or system, the harder it will be hit by unexpected crises. Modern experts and their lack of consequences. In the months before the 2008 financial crisis, Many financial experts in business schools and newspapers assured us that the economy was fine and there was no reason to worry. These so-called experts were wrong. The global economy crashed, and many people lost their investments, homes, and pensions. You might think that because they failed to predict such a massive financial collapse, these experts would face serious consequences. Instead, most of them kept their important jobs and never had to apologize for their mistakes. This happened because their field was narrow, they all knew each other, and they were reluctant to criticize one another. As a result, their errors were soon forgotten. This situation highlights a major issue in today's society. Many people benefit from being wrong without facing any consequences. When they are right, they enjoy the rewards, but when they are wrong, the costs fall on others, like during the financial crisis. They have no skin in the game, meaning they don't risk anything themselves. Today's bankers face a similar problem. In medieval Catalonia, failed bankers were beheaded, which made them work for the common good. Modern bankers, however, play with other people's money without risking anything themselves. They earn huge bonuses when they succeed but lose nothing when they fail. They are anti-fragile at everyone else's expense. Many modern professions work this way, being anti-fragile at others' cost. Danger of trying to control economic cycles. Many politicians and economists see the economic cycle of boom and bust as inefficient and unpredictable. They've created complex theories on how and when to intervene to make the cycle smoother. But there's a big problem with this approach. It aims to make society as smooth and calm as possible. As our knowledge grows, we become more confident in our ability to control things. We see volatility as something we can't predict, so we try to manage it. This approach is known as naive interventionism. Unfortunately, our understanding isn't as complete as we think, and instead of improving systems, we end up making them worse. By trying to remove volatility from systems like the economy, we destroy something important, anti-fragility. Without volatility, problems stay hidden and grow larger until they cause big crises. Think of a forest, it's always at risk of fire, but small fires help keep the forest healthy by burning away flammable materials and preventing larger fires. Similarly, volatility helps avoid major issues. By trying to eliminate uncertainty, we are building up problems that could lead to much bigger disasters. The turkey problem. Imagine you're a turkey on a chilly October day, happily clucking away. If you look at how well you've been fed and cared for recently, you might think your future looks bright. But on Thanksgiving Day, you'd be in for a big surprise. This example shows a major problem in modern times, making predictions based on a limited view of the past. Universities, business schools, and newspapers are filled with experts claiming to know what will happen in the future. Companies spend millions on strategists and risk managers to benefit from these predictions. But these predictions often come from what's called the turkey problem, using a flawed understanding of the past to guess the future. Following these predictions can be risky if things don't turn out as expected. Another issue is that we often think the worst thing we've seen must be the worst possible outcome. This leads to creating plans for only the worst-case scenarios without considering that something even worse might happen in the future. For example, the Fukushima nuclear reactor was designed to withstand the biggest earthquake ever recorded. However, when a larger earthquake struck in 2011, the reactor was destroyed because its designers didn't foresee this possibility. Misconceptions about the Industrial Revolution. In school, we're often taught that the Industrial Revolution was driven by scientists making breakthroughs, but that's not entirely true. It was largely sparked by ordinary people tinkering with ideas in their spare time. For example, the submarine wasn't developed by a university or a navy, but by a religious minister named Reverend George Garrett who worked on it as a hobby. Many such inventions came about through trial and error by amateurs working independently. They didn't always succeed, but sometimes they stumbled upon significant breakthroughs that benefited society. This misconception about history reveals a bigger issue, our failure to understand the importance of randomness and trial and error in progress. We prefer to think of past inventors as deliberate and knowledgeable, not as people experimenting in the dark hoping to stumble upon something useful. This misconception has implications today. We often pour money into professional scientists expecting groundbreaking discoveries, but real progress often comes from unexpected sources and chance discoveries, not just from planned research. Understanding and valuing this unpredictability, what we call anti-fragility, is crucial for creating real innovation and advancement in our society. Key points. 1. Evolutionary success depends on the adaptability of species, not individual organisms. 2. Exercising illustrates anti-fragility, stress makes systems stronger and more resilient. 3. The economy benefits from failures, as industries learn and adapt from mistakes. 4. Accept uncertainty with a barbell strategy, protect against risks while pursuing high reward opportunities. 5. Expertise often overlooks practical knowledge, success sometimes lies in intuitive action. 6. Trying to control volatility in systems like the economy can backfire, hiding underlying issues.